This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 7:18 in the morning, Monday, the 19th of April, and in about half an hour, we'll be discussing better solutions to address poverty with Professor Datuk Dr. Denison Jayasoria, Research Fellow at the University of Kebangsaan, Malaysia. But in the meantime, let's talk about tech and 5G, because work from home themes and all things related to technology and telecommunications were clearly the big winners in 2020 despite a global recession.
Yeah, stocks like Google, Microsoft and Zoom all saw more than double-digit gains last year. And the technology-heavy Nasdaq has been up by 52% since the beginning of 2020. However, we have seen technology stocks become more volatile as global growth becomes more certain with the vaccine rollout, as investors in turn shift from growth to cyclical stocks. But is there still money on the table for this theme?
So discussing this with us this morning is Samir Sharma, Managing Director and Head of Wealth Management at Standard Chartered Malaysia. Now, thanks for speaking with us, Samir. Now, is it a good time to invest in technology? Has the recent volatility and the occasional retracement actually an opportunity to do so?
What's changed here, what is happening here right now is this. In the early part, it was TINA, right? So there is no alternative. Interest rates are low. Stimulus is driving growth. So tech was rising pretty aggressively. And that was a sector to look at. Now the concerns are around rising yields, the rise of inflation or a sustained inflation increase potentially. And that's what is causing the shift towards value sectors like energy and financials. Now, to your question, should you buy on the dips? Is it a great time to enter? I would give you a slightly larger perspective on that. We believe that investments, when you look at it as a strategy, should be for the medium to long term. Keeping that in mind, investing in technology is an absolute yes from our perspective. In fact, this is one of the golden themes for us. And I'll give you some examples here. So we believe underlying themes in digitized healthcare, Internet of Things, electronic vehicles, will be areas that will grow significantly in the future and add to the economic output. And hence, investing in the secular themes today would make a lot of sense for future growth in your investments.
So bringing this golden theme home, Malaysia has also announced ambitious plans under the Malaysian Digital Economy Blueprint and its National Digital Network or JENDELA. So how can one position to take advantage of this since the investments involved are large?
So I'll break it into two different aspects, right? So fundamentally, the saying has been always that data is the new oil. In the new world, 5G or the pipe for the data is going to be 5G. And that is what will drive the growth of the whole industry and the economic output, where data gets used more effectively. What that means is there's enough research in the market now that states that globally, we are looking at a 3.6 trillion increase in economic output owing to the advent and development of the 5G technology and the development of the associated industries around it. For Malaysian context, that means about $4 billion in the next 5 to 10 years. From an employment standpoint, again, numbers here, it's about 22 odd million jobs that will be created globally. And for Malaysia, that number is about 40,000. What that means is if you're an individual who's looking at your own self from a business or a career standpoint, suddenly there will be sectors that will open up which you would have not heard of or thought of till today. IoT, e-vehicles, medtech, mobile entertainment, application and services. Hence, reskilling yourself if you're already employed or if you're coming into employment in this space, thinking about these industries becomes very important. And that's where the growth will come. Likewise, if you're a businessman, looking at these sectors is where you could benefit in terms of getting your business strategies involved and seeing how you can ride the wave of development that will come through these sectors over the next 10 odd years.
Samir, what about the 5G rollout? I mean, other countries like China and Korea have already embarked on this, and Malaysia is supposed to follow suit by year end via, of course, this recently announced special purpose vehicle. So how does one gain exposure to this growing global investment team? I mean, do we look at hardware providers, the companies in the supply chains, or even the telcos?
When 4G came into play a few years ago, the biggest beneficiaries were the FANG, right? Your Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Netflix, Google. And these companies wouldn't be where they are today without 4G. So the question now is, where do you find the FANG for 5G, correct? So like I mentioned earlier, the industries or the sectors that will grow are not going to be restricted to telcos or cell towers, because they will definitely do well. They will invest in infra, and that's going to happen. But you will see growth coming across diverse sectors. Manufacturing, for one, right? Connected factories, that's a big area. Connected vehicles, that's a very big area. Medical technology or digitizing medtech, that's a big one. So there are two ways to take advantage or try to find the so-called fangs in the 5G world, right? One is you do your own fundamental research. You find sectors and companies in those sectors who today may be small caps but are expected to do very well and invest in those areas. Alternatively, you look at professional asset managers who fundamentally are now specializing in this area and this sector. So I can give one example here. We have brought in a fund in Malaysia, coincidentally, just 2 months ago, which is a 5G network connectivity fund. What that means is the fund manager's mandate is to only focus and identify opportunities in sectors and areas that will do well and grow because of 5G, and invest in those companies early on now so that we can capture the upside benefit in the future.
An interesting perspective that 5G beneficiaries will be broader beyond just the classic FANG. So, Shami, your opinion, right? Would it be better to buy an ETF versus a fund?
So this is, an evergreen question that comes up every time. It's not an either-or option. It depends on a few things, right? If you're interested in investing in global markets, which are more mature and much more efficient, say US equities, and you're happy with investing in the index, let's say S&P 500, by all means, an ETF is a good option. It's an efficient platform, it tracks the index, it's clean, it makes a lot of sense. But now if you turn around and say, you know what, I want to invest in, let's take the example you just mentioned earlier, 5G. Well, finding a passive index may be tough, which can really go and help you identify underlying opportunities. Or if you say, I want to invest in a market which is not very efficient, a developing market, where the need for research is significantly higher to identify opportunities, then investing in an ETF may not be a very wise or a smart strategy. So it depends on your objectives. If you're happy with index, mature markets, ETF is a great option. If you're looking at subsector opportunities like 5G or a high yield or certain such examples, you're better off looking at an active fund manager who can do a much better job at identifying opportunities for you by applying the necessary research, and they have the resources to do that.
But Samir, we do know when it comes to investment, you know, choice can lead to paralysis. So how best should we navigate this?
I would break it into three parts here. Number one, before you think of investments, you need to think about your goals. As an individual, what are you investing for? Are you coming in to invest for the next 6 months, 12 months with a very short-term objective? Are you investing for the next 15, 20 years, assuming you're young, for your retirement? That is a very important first step, understanding what is your goal. The second thing here is, from the goal, you will also have to look at your appetite for risk. Are you comfortable taking a volatility in your portfolio of say 20% if it goes down tomorrow? That will determine what kind of investment opportunities and what kind of strategies you might apply. The third step, obviously, then is again to understand how do you want to go about it, right? Now, one small minority group of people are fairly savvy. They understand exactly what kind of investment instruments are available in the market, how to build a structured and diversified portfolio. So they can do it on their own, DIY. If you need professional help, then you need to work with some professional advisors. It could be banks or other organizations that they may deem fit, who can help you then build a proper, structured, diversified portfolio that can help you meet those objectives and manage and iterate those portfolios over a period of time. So just to give you a little more color and example here, we use an advisory framework, which is based on an open architecture model. What that means is we have a lot of information like anybody else. We take all of that into account, which is both qualitative and quantitative. We also then take into account diverse views, which are internal and external together, and then form our investment outlooks and views on different asset categories and regions, and then determine what is the best way to advise clients on their investment needs. So having that objectivity, having the professional help in the last mile is always useful, but all three steps have to come together. Identifying your goals, understanding your risk appetite, and then working with a professional manager to help you design a portfolio that can see you through to your goals.
Thank you for your time. That was Samir Sharma, Managing Director and Head of Wealth Management at Standard Chartered Malaysia. But up next, we'll be discussing the COVID-19 situation in India and worrying spike in cases with Dr. Pradeep Taneja, who is a Senior Lecturer in Asian Studies at the University of Melbourne. That's going to be happening after the 7:30 a.m. news bulletin. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.